It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jessica Tarlov, along with Rachel Campos-Duffy, Joey Jones, Dagan McDowell, and Jimmy Failla. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The 5. President Biden is out in Nantucket for Thanksgiving and grappling with the most consequential decision he'll have to make in his nearly 50-year political career so far. Will he run for re-election? The president, who just turned 80, taking time to talk with his family at the dinner table on what his next steps should be, calling it, quote, ultimately a family decision. It comes as he sees some other big leaders in his party, like Nancy Pelosi, step aside as Democrats cry out for a new generation. So whatever he decides is sure to send shockwaves throughout the Democratic Party and the country. But Biden isn't too eager to say what's on his mind.
Thank you.
And as President Biden searches for an answer in 2024, his potential successor, Vice President Kamala Harris, isn't doing herself any favors with awkward moments like this.
Hello, ma'am. Thank you.
Like a little awkward. Okay. And if Biden decides to run, his campaign is likely to look like this. The White House is putting out what it calls a Thanksgiving menu of accomplishments that people can use to talk up the president around the holiday table. I certainly used it myself. But before we get to talking politics, how was everyone's Thanksgiving? Jimmy?
Oh, JT, it was amazing. But my family doesn't know the difference between hospitality and a hazing ritual. So it starts out as like this friendly thing. 2 hours in, it just sounds like a Civil War battlefield. Everybody's moaning and achy and hurting. And then we burped and ate again. It was great.
Well, if you don't get stabbed in the back of a hand with a fork, it's a good day.
It's not a meal.
I was sick, so I didn't get off the sofa or really get out of the bed.
That's not that bad.
I love how Jimmy equated what happened to me on the battlefield to indigestion.
Stolen valor! Right out of the gate! The nerve of this guy! He's canceled.
Listen, my Thanksgiving was great. We had our actual traditional dinner on Tuesday, came up here on Wednesday, got to host on the couch yesterday, and then we went and saw the Rockettes and ate at Bill's Burgers, and my bank account is depleted, but my belly and heart is full.
Well, maybe if you weren't trying to tip the Rockettes, you'd have more money in that bank.
Listen, I
tip
wish
them
I would
like this. Yeah.
Maybe don't make it rain.
I wish I would have sat closer. That's all.
I was going to say, was the Rockettes for your beautiful daughter or Joey?
There's something for everybody.
Something for everybody.
How many kids did you have home?
We only had 7. Only 7 this time. But it was a wonderful time. Everyone really prepped. So I put on my Instagram my kids did that whole like fast forward out of all of us prepping, on Instagram. So yeah, we worked all together the day before. So actually it wasn't too bad yesterday. And Sean fried the turkey.
Sean's face looked puffy this morning. I saw him on TV and I was like, what was he doing last night?
He was up late.
Yeah.
He was up late. So.
This woman cooked the night before hosting on Fox and Friends. So,
I did.
Listen, super
well, but I had help. I had help. Big families mean teamwork.
Yeah, I just love that you pulled an Elon Musk and laid off 2 kids. That's hilarious. Sorry, we're downsizing.
All right, so let's shift gears to what I presume is going to be some Biden bashing from you guys.
What do you mean?
I'll go to you first. Where do you think Biden is going to land on this? Obviously, the midterms went better for Democrats than expected. My guess is he's going to run. Is that what you think as well?
Yes, I think he will run. Right. I don't see why he wouldn't unless he has true old age creep in, which I think is an absolute possibility. I mean, heart disease, anything could happen to someone that gets older. I mean, that's just kind of part of it. So true health problems could prevent it. But if he feels like he can physically do it, I don't know why he wouldn't. I mean, he does have a mandate he can take to the Democrat Party right now from the midterms. Doesn't mean that it's a winning strategy for 2024, but within his party, he's got a mandate.
All right. I like that answer. Ooh. Jimmy, let's see if you can live up to the standard. So Biden's popularity has been ticking up since the midterms, which is what typically happens when there's a good performance. But let's say that he decides not to run and then there's a huge free-for-all going on. Are there any names, and put yourself in the mentality of your show, your radio show, which is about bringing people together, so try to be nice. Are there any Democrats that you think would throw their name into the proverbial hat that would pose a challenge for Republicans?
Stacey Abrams.
Well, that she'd have to vacate her gubernatorial seat she won in 2018. So that's the Abrams thing's complicated. I honestly don't know who would fill the void, but I don't think he's running, and here's why. I really don't think he's running. I don't think he can handle the rigors of a full campaign. And what I mean by that is he didn't have to run in 2020. The pandemic allowed him to stay home watching Bonanza while the media campaigned for him. There were more Elvis sightings in the summer of 2020 than there were Joe Biden sightings. And I don't begrudge him that. He's at an advanced age. You know, they say everyone ages differently. I believe he's 80, but he's like a young 95. I don't think he could get out there and do it. And I know it's not going to be Kamala, because they're already at the stage of the administration where she's getting pretend jobs. Did you just see that video of her being a Walmart greeter down at the fish hatchery or whatever they sent her?
Like in the Philippines.
Yeah, they don't even know who she is. They don't even know what she's saying. But this is a really, really quick thing. This is a thing people with kids do, and you can speak to this, you can speak to this. When you have a busy house and you have kids getting in the way, you give them pretend jobs. Like, hey, Lincoln, do you want to go get the monsters out of the washing machine? He's like, oh, boy, monsters, and he runs down to the washing machine. They're now doing that with the vice president. They're like, hey, you want to go get the monsters off the dock? She's down on the dock saying hello. It won't be her. That's my only guess.
Yeah. The Philippines is deeply offended that that was the comparison that you just made.
Oh, they love me.
Dagan, do you think it's possible that Biden isn't going to run?
If somebody decides to step in and take the car keys away from him before he gets into the parking lot, and I mean the car keys of the United States, it would probably be and I'm speculating, obviously, it would probably be a family member, because it's his right. He's the president of the United States. This is his to decide, period. Yeah. Regardless of what people might say about him behind closed doors. But I want to bring up these talking points from Ron Klain about what to tell that uncle when he comes at you at the Thanksgiving table. That's what they actually think about conservatives, that you got this dense lunkhead at the dinner table who can't see, hear, smell, or taste fictitious propaganda. Instead, you know, I thought it was bad deplorables bitterly clinging to their guns and Bibles. This is bad. And instead of talking at that conservative uncle or aunt or child or parent, they should be listening right now. To quote Judge Judy, put your listening ears on and find out what financial hardship from inflation is really like. And if they're not listening now, they're going to be listening a year from now when the economy's in a deep recession and home prices have fallen 30 to 50%. They're going to be listening and begging conservatives to pay attention to the Democrats.
So, Rachel, I'd love to get your thoughts on whether you think it's only liberals that feel like they talk past conservatives, or if the conservatives feel that about liberals, because that's my impression.
It's definitely
right?
only liberals.
Well, then I guess don't answer that part
of
the question.
Thank you. Let's talk about whether he's. And by the way, if you need talking points to explain,
I mean,
What I'm saying, they sent that out.
Yeah.
And
this
so if you need talking points. Your economy is not very good, and your foreign policy is also not very good, and that's why they do that. But can I talk about the decision to run? Because I understand something about that as a family. It is a family decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Biden family is sitting in a $20 million donor-lent house.
Yes.
On the heels of a Vogue wedding where, like, the Hunter's daughters, like, had this, like, Princess Diana length tulle veil going off the balcony into the Rose Garden. They act like they're royalty, okay? And they're going to decide whether they're going to. Of course, they're all going to sit around the table. This is a family that loves money and is willing to sell out our country in order to get money. Of course, they're going to come out and say, yeah, definitely, let's run again. Let's do it. So I think they are going to run again, and I think it's shameful. Because as they're making this decision, they're totally tone deaf. All of these moves that they've just made, this Vogue spread, so tone deaf. Americans are suffering. Let me just say this. There's a 40% increase in first-time use of food banks. And those food banks, the shelves are empty because Americans don't have extra to give to the phone banks, even though we're the most generous people in the world. These are terrible times. I have no idea how they did so well in the midterms. I suspect it's a lot of the indoctrination of young people. We can talk about that later.
And that's what
and big tech. But I think they are running again. They love the money, they love the power, and they love the position.
My favorite point on the talking points is at the end, though, where it says you have to give 10% of your mashed potatoes to the big guy. I thought that was aggressive. I think it was very aggressive.
Yeah, Hunter probably loves the executive privilege.
I love Jimmy.
Court press of the White House to be on his back, have his back.
Yeah, things would be different if I weren't leading this block, and I would have more talk time to review everything that just came out of your mouth, Rachel. But the viewers at home know how I feel about that. So, coming up, a story we have been following. The desperate search for a killer in Idaho expands as cops probe a possible new lead in who murdered four college students.
It's nice to unwind after...
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
A gruesome murder mystery that started in Idaho, now possibly crossing state lines. A deranged killer still on the loose, and cops are no closer to finding out who butchered four college students as they slept in their beds. And now investigators are looking into two other unsolved stabbing attacks in nearby states. In June of 2020, a woman was found in her home in Washington with multiple stab wounds to her torso. 14 months later, and just 70 miles away, a husband and wife were attacked in their sleep in Oregon. The husband killed. Those cities are roughly a 5 to 6 hour drive from Moscow, Idaho. And police say they will follow every lead until they find the murderer.
I think we're looking at every avenue, and we have other agencies reaching out to us with other cases and stuff that we are doing follow up on. And we will continue to follow up on those.
Are you aware of that case?
I actually had a tip come in on that case, and I forwarded it to our tip line.
Joey, in all three of these cases that I mentioned, no suspect has been identified. And so it raises the issue, or we have to confront the possibility that maybe this doesn't even get solved.
Well, it didn't get solved on the first two.
Right.
We have no idea if they are connected, but there are facts about all three that are very similar. So I think it's the due diligence to see, can they be connected? And is there forensic evidence at one that can corroborate forensic evidence at the other? I saw the one statement that one of our analysts here on the network said was, listen, if this person has never been arrested or if their DNA or fingerprints aren't in a database, forensic evidence doesn't go very far. And if that's all they have, then they're in a bad spot. The story is tragic. Anytime innocent life is taken is tragic. This is obviously incredibly gruesome. It's surprising. You send your kids to college thinking that, hey, I'm worried about drugs. I'm worried about parties. I'm worried about DUIs. This is not what you send your kids to college being worried about. And it shakes everyone out there to their core. And I'm not benign to the fact that young innocent life is taken in a bunch of ways around this country, and we should be concerned about all of it. But this particular story is very gruesome.
Rachel, you're the mother of college-age kids, and students are going to be allowed to learn remotely and study remotely, but I wanted to point out there is a candlelight vigil scheduled for Wednesday of next week at 8 p.m., the location to be identified. What would you do?
Oh, I'd bring my daughter home. I mean, this just freaks. This would freak you out. This is a small town. Of course, you'd say, come home, and I think the school is right, especially after we've done remotely for really dumb reasons. Now we have a reason where this killer could be on the loose.
It's tremendous.
Can I just say something? This happened so close to the holidays. These families, I feel so bad for them.
Yeah.
Our president has come out and made statements on two other gruesome murders that we've had. So one at the Q Bar in Colorado, the other one in Walmart, a shooting. Said nothing about these. And I just think there's no difference in terms of how tragic this is for these families, how gruesome these murders were, how... you just wonder, does he only come out and show compassion when there's a political angle?
You don't get votes being against knives.
Right, being against knives or white or for white kids. So I just think that's something to point out. It's really disappointing. I think at this time of year, he should have said something about all of them. He was going to say something to any of them. He made a statement, and he also called the club owner yesterday, which I have no problem with that he did that. But it just seems like... this seems kind of ignored, although it has not been ignored by the country. The country has been riveted by it because we do have kids. And we do say, as you said, Joey, this is not something we ever expect.
Jess?
No, it's completely unexpected, yeah. And that we have so little information a week and a half later. That's what's really stunning. We were in more than a week, and it'll be 2 weeks on Sunday.
Yeah, right.
And on the day before Thanksgiving, there was the press conference, and you thought that there was going to be something to come out of it. Yeah. But instead, we're all glued to the TV waiting to feel as if there was going to be some relief for these families, that there would at least be a tip or something that they can share. And I understand that police work is incredibly complicated. I understand that the FBI is involved. And I hope to God that they wake up tomorrow morning and they tell us, we got it all, right? Yeah. We got the guy and he did these other two things as well. And he's going to rot in prison for the rest of his life. I don't think that that's the case. And there were so many questions that were coming from the reporter class, and especially the local reporting class, that were seemed really spot on to me. Like, yeah. Had you considered that his phone, if he did know these kids, was on the Wi-Fi for a second, let's say, if he had been to a party there or it's a small campus, et cetera, these things, the police officers looked so confused by these questions that seemed natural for a young person to be asking, right? You're going to think immediately about what goes on your phone. It's such a letdown in terms of what you expect from law enforcement. And I just hope that they fix it and that they don't come out and honestly talk to us until there's more to this. But I don't know how there can be these three killings that follow basically the same fact pattern, even down to between 3 and 4 a.m. is when this guy likes to kill people in their beds like this and with a knife, and you have nothing.
In that press conference, one of the speakers did note the number of FBI agents involved in this investigation now, but particularly two behavioral analysis units, unit individuals, FBI agents who were on the ground there. And that's when they work in identifying, creating a profile. Yeah. And Jim Clemente, he's a former profiler with the FBI among many jobs, retired supervisory special agent. I listened to a podcast that he hosts, and he went through, and this was on Fox News, he went through just the basic outline of a profile, and it's very specific and narrow, that he's a young man who has not carried out violent crimes before. He's sloppy. He's not sophisticated, but he believes that he knew, at least knew one of the people, because you'd never go into a home blindly like that. What if there was, you know, what if they were armed? But also he said that he is comfortable with blood and knows how to use a knife. He, quote, doesn't mind. It's graphic, but he said that he doesn't mind getting his hands dirty and doesn't mind the sight of blood. And he said it could be a hunter or a butcher or someone. So I just felt like that was such a specific profile that the FBI on the ground knows a lot more about the suspect.
I take issue. It might be somebody who has tortured animals and may have that kind of record. People that hunt have a great respect for the animals.
I want to get Jimmy in here. Jim Clemente said as a profiler.
Yeah. No, of course. But more people want to hear from Jim Fallon.
I'm kidding.
I take my time back. I kid. Listen, man, it's a really heartbreaking story on so many levels. I am optimistic that law enforcement knows more than they're telling us. I think what happens a lot of times is we conflate media proficiency with crime-solving proficiency, meaning we've seen them have rough moments at the podium, but their job is not to be great at the podium. Ideally, they would be. But what we really need them to do is solve the case. And when you hear things like there is a lot of data, potentially digital from cell phones, potentially forensic, which comes with a qualifier if the person has no criminal record, I want to believe there's so much national interest in this story. And there are so many things specific to it in terms of the region, you know, where it happened, the overlap with the other crimes, that I want to believe we're a lot closer than anyone thinks right now. And I know we're not going to have that proof until they get there. But no one supports the cops harder than me, so I hope they get there.
It's frustrating for all of us. It's excruciating for the families, but it's not the job of the cops to make us feel better.
No, of course not. But they also did really hurt themselves by coming out at first and saying that it was safe and that the kids could remain at campus.
But they did own that. Like, I want to give them credit. They did own that. I know. But they did come back and own it. You know, go ahead.
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm praying for them.
I'm out.
Yeah. We pray for the families.
I tap out.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow night. Lawrence Jones will host a special edition of Cross Country live from Moscow, Idaho. That's tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern.
And switching gears now, the world's richest man, Elon Musk, teasing some dirt on the censorship of Hunter Biden's laptop from hell.
You caught me as I was winking. Now I think my winking day.
Investing in gold doesn't.
You like that, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
All right. Elon Musk still shaking things up at Twitter, and the liberals can't stand it. The world's richest man is trolling critics with new stay-at-work merchandise following his discovery of Stay Woke T-shirts at the company's headquarters. And the left is really not going to like this. Musk may release juicy details of Twitter's internal discussions that led to the censoring of the Hunter Biden laptop report, which he says is, quote, necessary to restore public trust. So I'll start with you, Jimmy. If he has this information, mm-hmm. why is he playing games? Why is he, you know, teasing in? I'm going to do a Twitter poll. Just release it. We ought to know, right?
Oh, I do think it's coming. But he's probably just trying to hire a food taster before he does, because they are out for this. They hate him so much.
He has it, but why doesn't he just do it?
I don't know the answer to that. I think there's two things. I think Elon Musk is well-intended, but he has really embraced the role of Twitter troll at the same time. Like, he is in the trenches on Twitter. Like, I'm, like, to the point that I'm like, get a life, dude.
Stop responding.
Yeah, like, it's so much. Like, when I got a reply, I was like, all right, this is a little carried away now. You know what I'm saying?
It's been fun. It's been fun. I know it hasn't been fun for Jessica. But Jessica,
I'm not nearly as sensitive as you would think.
Oh, I know you're not.
Jesse.
Not for Jessica to be on Twitter, because I see the crap that people say to her.
Listen, I apologize for most of it.
Yes. Okay, so let me ask you this really quick. So we know purportedly when this stuff comes out, we'll see what we all suspect is happening, which is that, you know, liberal voices are elevated, conservative voices are turned down. If you ask me, you're in politics, you know as much as I do, that's an in-kind donation. That's illegal. So do you think we should investigate when this information comes out? Should we investigate and prosecute those executives, but even those employees who were involved in the suppression of Democrat candidates, for example, or campaigns or Republican campaigns?
I guess you have to see what happens there. But I do know, for instance, now it's funny that Elon Musk owns Twitter. We only talk about big tech being Twitter, right? That suddenly we've gotten back. And we don't mention the fact that Facebook, which is still pretty popular, that conservative media does better than liberal media. And we know that to be the case. So I'm just saying, I have never been afraid of Hunter Biden's laptop. I have not been afraid of an investigation into these things. I think that the American public knows what they think is a real investigation, what they think is a sham investigation. And they know also if they think that whatever Hunter Biden, which we can all agree is not someone that you would be voting for, mm-hmm. right, if you were running for any office, is different than his father. So
but
I have no,
it's just not about,
I get it.
Okay.
I get it.
Okay.
So, okay.
But you can't make a distinction because if one is linked to the other, then it's significant.
But then we'll find that out. But at this particular moment, you just have a lot of videos.
Right. But we know that the suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop story affected the election of 2020.
That matters.
Joey, that matters, doesn't it? The suppression of that story matters.
Here's the Hunter Biden is an absolute turd of a human being.
Of course,
okay,
this
that's
isn't
great.
About Hunter.
But if
about
his
Joe.
Father has been complicit in either the business dealings or covering up for his son, that does matter because that is who people have to vote for. And Republicans are not wrong for wanting to investigate this because where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's smoke everywhere. But you're talking about Elon Musk on Twitter. If a platform bans the Babylon Bee for misinformation, mm-hmm. they're on the wrong track and they have an agenda. And I hope he does expose it. I don't hitch myself to anybody's wagon. There is no Messiah. There was one, and that was a long time ago. I don't care if it's the President of the United States, Elon Musk, Kanye West, or anybody else that says something radical one day that I believe in, because they're going to say something tomorrow that's going to put me in a corner. So don't praise Elon Musk. Don't praise anybody. Find the principles you believe in and reward the people that consistently engage in them. And if that's what Elon Musk does now, that's great. I don't like or trust him any more today than I did before he bought Twitter. I don't like or trust Twitter any more today than I did before he bought it.
Well, Dagan, we'll go back to the original question. If Elon Musk has this information, why doesn't he just release it? And if he does release it and it shows this sort of complicity between the federal government, Democrats, and Twitter, is that prosecutable? Because that is an in-kind donation to many campaigns. It changed the 2020.
Well, the bigger issue would be, and this is wild speculation, is if there was any contact between anyone in the federal government and Twitter, and they
exactly.
were... Well, that's a violation of the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Period. But it's not like there's like a piece of paper that was on Elon's desk when he showed up at Twitter. And it's like, oh, well, that's who was involved in it. It requires a huge data dive. Mm-hmm. And he's got other things on his plate, like keeping the, you know, advertisers on board. But I find it Musk is in favor of greater freedom of speech, greater freedom of expression, greater transparency. And the fact that liberal journalists like Don Lemon and that loser at the Washington Post are most triggered by this kind of tells you everything that you need to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's pathetic and embarrassing, but it tells you that they see their jobs as being mouthpieces of the left and advancing the narrative, opinion, and worldview of the left-wing universe.
I
find that, and by the way, where's the outrage and hand-wringing and self-reflection over accepting an obvious lie about Hunter Biden's laptop story, about it being disinformation right before a presidential election, and then silencing actual journalists who broke the story?
I just love really
Where's
quick.
The pearl clutching?
I just love that CBS has authenticated the story 2 years
later. Yeah, 2 years later.
Isn't it amazing?
They're on it.
It took them 2 years to complete an investigation, but they can complete a Twitter boycott in 2 days.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Come on, man.
Yeah, it's laughable. All right, we got to go. Ahead, climate change protesters are getting even more crazy, and it's apparently fueling kids' nightmares.
The new Subway Series menu.
Damn right it did. I think it's time for an intervention, my tree-hugging friends, because your climate hysteria is really starting to scare the crap out of little kids. In fact, according to a new survey, over 70% of children aged 7 to 12 say they are now afraid of climate change. Yep. Instead of being afraid of the normal kid stuff like monsters under your bed or the boogeyman, today's kids are hyperventilating over some polar bears. But it's really no wonder why they're scared. I mean, have you seen what these lunatics have been doing? A group of climate activists clung themselves to a tarmac in Berlin and shut down air traffic. I bet they were sniffing glue as well. And protesters in Italy dumped flour all over a sports car painted by Andy Warhol in just the latest stunt targeting priceless works of art. Let's go to the table on this. Jessica, the Andy Warhol stunt with the flour, a little much. But you have to admit it was nice to see a painter covered in white powder besides Hunter Biden.
Yes, I desperately have to admit that. It was a good Warhol joke anyway. You could have just stuck with the drugs line and Warhol.
You liked it.
You didn't need
good.
To go to Hunter Biden.
It could have been him, too.
But I see what you did
there. Hey, JT, giving it back.
So it makes sense to me that kids would be concerned about this. And I don't think those are their parents. I think it's normal to teach kids that what we do affects the environment, not to scare them to the. I don't want anyone gluing themselves to a Van Gogh or anything like that. But I think that kids should be aware of what's going on.
But I feel like the whole point of being a kid is to be like shielded from the adversities of adult life. You know, people
Isn't
say
that a very
to you,
liberal perspective. I think
no,
they should
I think
grow
in general,
up and they should know what their emissions are doing to the rest of the world.
I don't know, though. At the age of 7, do you really want to guilt 12, them into
7
emissions?
To 12.
I don't
12
know.
Is an adult at some point.
I have had a kid in this age group, Rachel, so I will pivot to you. My son, Lincoln, is not worried about the climate. He's more worried that they're not serving beer at the World Cup at his age. Do you feel like we're accelerating adulthood by dealing kids in on political adversity?
We're selling them lies, first of all. Mm-hmm. Look, we as conservatives, we talk a lot about CRT in the school and, you know, queer gender theory in our schools. We don't talk enough about big green in our schools, selling a lot of lies. A lot of these young women now don't want to procreate because they're afraid, like, if they have more than one or two kids, they're, you know, they're going to be environmental terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
I think the oil and energy industry has done a terrible job of defending themselves. Oil and energy gives us prosperity, lifts people out of poverty. Mm-hmm. They do a good to us. Much of the green energy that's being created, some of the products, the EVs are based on slave labor in Africa mm-hmm. yeah. to get many of the inputs for this, for these kinds of yeah. things. So it is not, we need to tell the truth. If you're going to have big green in mm-hmm. schools, then get big energy in there too. So we hear two sides of the story uh-huh. instead of all this indoctrination.
What is queer gender theory?
You sound, by the way, exactly like my 7-year-old nephew. Spot on. He says that exact thing.
Thank you.
She's absolutely right. One of the countries, I think it's Norway, is trying to sell us on offshore wind. Mm-hmm. Number one, it's completely unsustainable here, and it would cost so much money. While they're trying to do it, they'll make a lot of money on us maintaining it. But yes, so much of the materials come from unethical labor. A lot of it's slave labor. Yeah. They don't want to talk about that. Okay, but let's keep talking. Every time one of these little spoiled punks that doesn't have enough real people problems that they're going to go throw paint onto art, I don't care about art. I don't care about art at all. But every time they do it, I burn a stack of tires just because they're not going to get one over on me, let me tell you. But this is honest God's truth. You want to tell me a 12-year-old needs to worry about their carbon emissions?
No.
Okay, then also tell the 12-year-old what Big Ag does to the Prairie Pothole region that ruins the Mississippi Delta and we're losing species of fish and wildlife because big corporate ag is killing all the small farmers, and we don't have a problem with that. There's a lot of things that have to do with conservation and protecting our environment before we get to losing our energy.
Agreed.
That is the end of the line, and uh-huh. they focus on that because they can indoctrinate 18 to 30-year-olds to vote for them like we just saw.
Exactly.
Who do you think is angrier that people glued themselves to the tarmac? Right-wingers who don't agree with their politics or climate activists who couldn't take off in their private jets?
Both.
Like, how dare you?
Remember Greta Thunberg 3 years ago?
Yep.
I'll just remind you. I shouldn't be up here. I should be in school.
How dare you?
On the other side of the ocean. You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. We are on the verge of mass extinction. Let me turn that on its head. She is a distraught, terrorized child who's miserable, who thinks the world is ending because of climate alarmists. Mm-hmm. She was the victim, and now she's the perpetrator. Mm-hmm. She's the part of the problem. But this was a child who was frightened to death by people feeding her this
yeah.
garbage. So it's like, what are kids being told? If your parents drive an SUV, you're killing me.
That's true. That's a lot of money.
I've been called an environmental
terrorist. All right. Well, all I'll say to these Swedish protesters is you got to be careful. If you get arrested in the land of IKEA, they make you build your own prison bunk, which is no fun. It's IKEA stuff. Who's got an Allen key? Coming up, a toddler terrorizing plane passengers on an 8-hour flight. That video and more in The Fastest.
My first thought was this city will never be.
From a great Dolly Parton movie. Okay, welcome back. First, it's time for The Fastest. First up, the internet is furious with some parents who apparently let their toddler terrorize a plane full of passengers on an 8-hour flight. You can see the little brat jumping up and down on top of a tray table, much of to the dismay of the male passenger sitting directly in front of her. One person saying, quote, their words, not mine, this is why I hate kids, especially this toddler age. What it was is they had just talked to the kid about climate change and about how much that you know, the toddler
boom.
And so the kid was protesting. Jimmy, what do you think about it?
It's always the parents in this instance. It's not the kid. Somebody's supposed to step in and, you know, because the parents clearly weren't.
Yeah.
But if you were going to really quickly rank what the most offensive things on a plane are in terms of the most bothersome people, it's not kids. I consider kids like fifth, because you can get noise-canceling headphones and tune them out. Okay, the guy that's the most annoying guy is the guy that stands up the second the plane lands. You know that guy?
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, there's about 35 minutes till we get off this plane. You don't need to be in the overhead bin standing with a neck crane. And then it's the second guy, who I've had the pleasure of flying with twice in the past year, who trims his toes on the plane. But you don't want to say anything because you don't want to upset his emotional support
llama. I tried that one time and went too high. Dagan, Joey, what do you think about this?
Is it wrong that I was hoping that the tray table would snap?
that's not wrong.
The worst dude on the plane is the guy who takes his shoes off and then shoves his hairy foot between the seats, and it's on your armrest. He hasn't trimmed his toenails. Yeah. That's the worst person.
Well, since these two are invoking things I know nothing about, Jessica, what do you think about it?
It's hugely upsetting that parents let this happen. Yeah. I've only just started flying with a little person, and she can't jump on a tray table yet.
Because you said you gate check her.
Yeah. Totally, with the stroller. Yeah. I just keep her in
it.
But I don't know how that was allowed to go on.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Rachel. Yeah, obviously this is a parent problem, for sure. But I've seen wild, drunk stories of people on airplanes. Yeah. And I would say the kid is not the worst behaved on the plane.
Not at all. No,
ever.
Not at all. Here's my take on it. You're putting yourself in a piece of metal, and you're flying into the space and coming back down to get somewhere that would take weeks on a horse or days in a car. Just be thankful we have that technology. If you have to listen to a kid for a little while, I don't know that's the worst thing about life.
So. You know what? This is why my father would not let us go to a restaurant with them until both my brother and me could shave.
There's that.
All right, we got to go. One more thing is up next.
Hallelujah, everybody sing Jesus. Merry Christmas from the family.
It's time now for one more thing, and I'm going to go first. This is one of my favorite stories. I did it last year, too, because it's a tradition that continues on 7 years later. Started in 2016 when an Arizona grandmother, Wanda Dench, sent a text to who she thought was her grandson, inviting him to Thanksgiving dinner with her husband, Lonnie. It was Jamal Hinton who received the text, and Jamal is not Wanda's grandson, but he let her know that he would be attending anyways. The new friends have been getting together for Turkey Day every year since. Unfortunately, Wanda's husband, Lonnie, passed in 2020 due to COVID complications, but they still plan to scale down gathering in his honor. She has called the accidental text fate, and the viral friendship is being developed into a Netflix movie. It's just all the good things about the holidays.
Awesome.
But just to be clear, if I text you by accident, you are not welcome at my house. Like, we had enough people last night. We're good here. But I think I will take the ball from here. Rock and roll.
Jimmy, you're up next.
Oh, Jimmy's up. Look at that, everybody. Rock and roll. I want to wish, before we go any further, a happy 14th birthday to my son, Lincoln Fala, the Link Man. Turns 14 today. I got to be honest, it's very hard to imagine that it was 14 years ago that Maury Povich said he was my son. But he is my son. Here we are. And last year for 13, he wanted me to take him to Hooters. True story. This year we're staying home. He wants me to make a steak. So, Link Man, Daddy's coming home. We're having a steak and a bourbon. Let's go.
Growing up fast.
I love seeing him because that's what Jimmy would look like if he were handsome. Right there.
Joey, there it is. Oh. You'll never be as harsh with the voices in my head. Do we have copy on the Fox Shop in front of me here really quick? Okay, it is on my page, the Fox Shop, everybody.
It's the last page in your folder there, Jim.
There is a Black Friday sale on foxnewsshop.com. You can save on select Fox News Shop apparel, drinkware, and more. Just go to shop.foxnews.com to check out the sales.
Absolutely the best promo in Fox News history.
I think they feel great about that.
Dagan.
All new Gutfeld tonight. I'm on it. Matt Whitaker, Jim Norton, Kat Timpf, and Gigi is there himself. And if you want to know who makes these earrings, check out my Twitter.
Fantastic.
They're beautiful.
Could you try again? Siri wants to know how to buy those.
Siri just spoke.
Rachel, you're up.
Okay, here's a story I loved. A man's going to marry a woman. She has a little daughter. The daughter's biological father has not been involved in this little girl's life. And so the new husband that's going to marry the mom is going, he actually proposes to the daughter as well.
That's
to
awesome.
Say, I'm going to be your dad.
Beautiful.
So take a look.
I got your mama to say yes. Can you be my daughter? Can I be your daddy? Yeah.
Aww.
I love you forever, I promise.
Her reaction is just so genuine. So many grown adults walking around with the pain and anguish of not having a dad. That dad is healing that wound, and I thought it was just beautiful.
Wonderful.
Well, now I'm crying, and I've got 30 seconds. Yeah. Listen, hey, real quick, you guys know I'm so passionate about Boot Campaign. It's a nonprofit I've always supported. We have a program called Santa Boots. You can go to bootcampaign.org/Santa Boots and buy Christmas presents for 150 military families that have fallen on hard times. We custom shop for them. We get them what they need and some things they want. Also, you can go to Nonline Apparel and get this very special edition You Matter t-shirt.
Awesome. That's it for us. We'll see you back here on Monday.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com. Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.